Welcome to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. The first hour of the show is brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Now, here's your host, Johnny Radio himself, John Harden.
What it is back. What it is. No, I what it is back. What it is back. I gotta go. Got my money changed, but you still can't lay it down. Paint the Lord.
Good morning. We'll turn into good afternoon here on Happy Hour on Sports 56. How are you? I am Darian Newsom. In for one, John Harden. He is still a little bit under the weather, so we are going to hang in with you guys for the next 2 hours, bring you up to date on the news and notes in the world of sports. How are you? How's it going? Hopefully you're having a very, very, very good day listening to us here on Sports 56. Wolo and friends just finished wrapping up. We're going to get into it. I mean, you know, hit us up on the Facebooks, the social medias, the Twitters, all of that good stuff. We are very...
The Twitter,
yeah.
I won't say the Instagram and the Instagram. And the threads and all those other apps, but we live on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, you want to join the show? You want to show us that you're active listening to us here on Sports 56? Join in with us. Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin text and listener line, 901-360-8255. We are very, very listener friendly. We take your texts. We take your calls. We want to know what's on your mind. Like I said, we'll get right into it, setting things up for today. Yesterday, WNBA draft. Regionally, Ole Miss having two women taken in the WNBA draft. We'll get into that. Within an hour, I just learned that the FedEx St. Jude Championship has a new director. Not sure if you guys are familiar with Joe Tomic. Joe is now in Australia. I mean, great leveling up. When we say leveling up, that's how you level up, man.
I got to hear that interview when Joe was telling us about taking that job, you know, for that where he's leaving what he's doing here in Memphis. And it's really only for the one tournament in Australia.
Yes. So Joe is there.
It's like a one and done thing.
He's like 2 or 3 years out right
it's
now.
Like I forget
the actual tournament that he's in control of. But when he explained it, because he actually came on Action News 5 as well, when he explained it, he basically said they have one employee right now. They have me, and I have a lot of land. So good luck to Joe. But needless to say, we'll let you know who the new director of the FedEx St. Jude Championship is. He's been around for quite a while, so not new to the FedEx St. Jude, nor is he new to the Memphis area. We can get into a little bit of the NFL draft. This is the time of the year I call this is the time for smart people who love sports, with your mock drafts here and there, seeing if you are right versus the guys that actually get paid to do this, and to actually see the results, you know, where you were right, where you were wrong at. Not sure if you have a mock draft out, Mr. Ham, or you know of anyone with one, but
you know, I'm not a big fan on like mock drafts in general, but on the basketball side, of course, I follow the 105 Hoops mock draft with my guy, Coach Les Stewart. He curates and forms his own mock draft pretty much, give with monthly updates, scouting notes. You've seen a copy of that.
Absolutely, Coach Les.
That draft, you know. But on the football side, I know Germ was working on a big board. Just in general, not necessarily for a mock draft, but his draft, just in general.
Hey.
He's revealed some stuff that, you know, he's put out on Views from the 22 and social media and other things like that. But unfortunately, he won't be able to join us today. He's trying to reschedule to get up with us on one of these segments on Thursday so he can bring us that. I know that Mo usually leaves that portion of the fun to Germ, because Germ really gets in his bag on this stuff. But Mo has picked up a lot more lately on that.
Gotcha. Shout out to Germ. So to Jeremy Mary, go and find him on the socials and the medias. Great segue. Find me on the socials and the medias. Follow me. I'll follow you back. This is Darian Newsom. Newsom underscore at 901-901, baby. Follow me and I will follow you back. And follow us here at Sports 56. It's also a Views from the 22 Tuesday. Like my man Jay Ham just said, we probably won't have Jeremy Merritt today. Hopefully we get the man. I mean, I won't call him the crowd favorite. Like, there's so many analogies I can give him, but Mo Schefter, man. Mo is even golf friendly. Over the past week, we've been hearing Mo Schefter break down some golf and
down a little golf. Every now and then, he'll probably chime in on something on the hoop side with 94 Feet of Life.
Yeah.
Every now and then, considering that it's WrestleMania week, he may have an opinion on the big event that's coming up, you know, whether it's WWE, AEW, whatever the case.
Hey, we love it. Flexibility.
We try to be
versatile. one-trick pony.
Absolutely.
Don't be a one-trick pony. And if you guys heard me yesterday, I called in to my man Landon, who was so mean to me yesterday and ran me off the phone call on yesterday. We just chimed in a little bit about the results from the Masters. Did you watch any? I know you didn't get a chance to chime in a lot about that. Did you watch any Masters? Not a Masters
very
guy?
Very little. I'm really not a golf guy. Yeah. I had intentionally planned on watching, but you know what I did over the weekend?
Yeah, what you got?
I fired up my HBO Max app. I went to season number 3 of The Wire, and I've been re-enjoying The Wire for some reason. I just wanted to watch The Wire this weekend.
Look at you.
A little Stringer Bell, a little Avon Barksdale activity.
Well, I definitely was all up in it. And my favorite golf event is actually the U.S. Open. I love being at home on Father's Day.
That's the Father's Day
tournament.
There's
nothing better than being off of work on Father's Day and watching that tournament wrap up around 5, 6, 7 o'clock. I just love it. So golf is in my veins as well. But needless to say, we're going to start this thing off talking Grizzlies, man. Our Grizzlies held their exit interviews after a disappointing season. Woo, lot to say right there. The biggest omission yesterday was Ja Morant, J-Ham. He was not in attendance. Not sure. There's not any reports of why he wasn't there, whether it was his call, the team's call, or a mutual joint venture, so to speak, for him not to be there. But what does Ja Morant's omission at the exit view say to you, Mr. Hale?
It's continuing to have a black cloud hover over that organization and how, in my opinion, they fumbled this group.
Okay.
Just my personal opinion. I understand people, the injuries, even that's part of it too. My belief is this. In today's NBA especially, when you're drafting these cats and they're 19, 20 years old and you want to turn these dudes into cornerstones, which is a very hard thing to do because a lot of these dudes don't really find their groove as professionals and as grown men until they're 25.
Absolutely.
They're going to make a lot of mistakes even after they turn 25. But up until that, you're going to see a whole lot of things that come out that you probably don't like. It's going to be a lot of lack of maturity and the whole thing. But they're growing. They're just being human beings.
Gotcha.
I think Dylan Brooks made a good point when he spoke about it. He was like, they gave up on us too soon. We were young guys that played hard every night. He got a point.
Yeah, but that's when the smart people will say the business side kind of got into it. And Dylan knows it.
That's the tricky part about this business in the NBA, though, is that you see things that you see the trends that they push, but those trends are generally detrimental.
Yeah.
They don't draft. They, for whatever reason, they don't like juniors and seniors. They don't like upperclassmen. They like to go get 19 or 20-year-olds to build their squads around.
Yeah.
Granted, the dudes that are 20, the Yaxels that are 23 years old who can come in, be established right now, be a grown man, contribute, you probably would think that he has the maturity there. I would guess that being at 23, he's experienced some BS that he don't want to see no more.
Yeah.
Already been through that.
And he also thrived in a new environment, too.
And thriving in a new environment, which also shows that growth and maturity.
Thank you. And that's something that I was bringing up to a friend of the show, Matt Enfield, over the weekend. And I told him the same thing that I told you guys last week. I think Yaxel is a confidence player.
Mm-hmm.
If you, the higher you draft Yaxel, the better version of Yaxel you will get. If you get an 18th picked Yaxel or 24th
might not
pick
be
Yaxel,
a motivator that
may
you
not
think
be
it
a motivator
be,
to him. But if Yaxel knows that, hey, you spent a high lottery pick on me, not only am I going to produce for you, I'm going to go well over and beyond. And some people may say, hey, D, he shouldn't look at things like that, but he's a human being. But I just think that's the way he's built.
I like your empathetic view on that because you took away from what you would see, what I would see, what other. Maybe let's take a look at how he may view
it. Yes. I think he's definitely that type
of player. And that's really how I started breaking the game down more recently. It's like, this stuff happens for a reason.
Yeah.
All this stuff happens for a reason. It's got a madness behind the method, whether it's incorrect or not.
Yeah, and speaking of the madness, like I said, the exit views were held yesterday, and Zach Kleiman, he avoided to comment.
Word
on
salad.
Yeah, he avoided to comment on Ja Morant's future. But he did speak on the situation at hand, and I'll read it to you verbatim. It says, quote, this is the words of Zach Kleiman, Ja Morant has been a pro's pro. Behind the scenes, Ja left the last few months. We've had open dialogue. We've had respectful dialogue. I think everyone is on the same page as much as they can be in this situation. I'm not going to speculate on potential transactions, though. First of all, he is the guy that makes the transactions. How can you not speculate on it? You know it. You know what you want. You know what you want to offer. You know what you want to accept in a trade for job. That's my first thing, J.M. The second portion of that is, if we're on the same page, tell us what the page is. So, has that page been turned? Are we on a new turned page? Right. Or are we on a, I like to call it the quote, Damian Lillard page, where, right, yes, we have a superstar, but we are young and quote unquote dumb around him, but we have our superstar. So what say you? What page are we on? Because apparently Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies know that page. They just hadn't told us.
They hadn't told him, and this is why they didn't make him available for comment yesterday. This is why they didn't make his jersey available for the jersey giveaway, as Anthony Sane revealed on his show last week, when all of that they came about. And he's been pretty much, we hadn't really heard anything from 12 since London.
Ah, you're absolutely right. That was Matt Enfield's play of the year. I mean, well, game of the year, basically, right, from Ja Morant this year. But on some more upbeat terms, Ty Jerome's future came up, and Zach Kleiman again brought that up. He sounded more certain about Ty Jerome, who signed with the Grizzlies last offseason, a 3-year deal. This year, Jerome missed 46 games with the calf strain and only played in a total of, 15 games? Yeah. He averaged nearly 20 points, 6 assists, while playing just under 23 minutes per contest. It seems as if he may be the starting point guard next year. Am I wrong? Or
it seems like
if we move on.
If they don't pick up something in June,
okay,
that's going to put the basketball in somebody new.
Are you bought into a possible Ty Jerome being your starting point guard, or do you like him coming off the bench? I love him as a 6
I prefer for him to come off the bench.
Yeah,
but first things first, I can't buy anything until these people get healthy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's really hard to project anything about them without having a full complement of guys available to give us some kind of a sample size.
And speaking of health, again, the conversation came up about health with the Memphis Grizzlies between myself and Matt Enfield. He pointed out the largest cog to this entire deal, speaking of health, is Zach Edey. He brought up the fact of the fast start and the amount of time that Ja Morant was actually on the floor with him, even though we had a fast start. So what he's saying, if you have a healthy Zach Edey who now is protecting the rim, who is now is grabbing rebounds, who is now, you know, blocking shots, all of that good jazz, that bodes well for the Grizzlies. It is kind of undeniable looking at the start that he had, the numbers that he was putting up. But another bright spot that came up during the exit interviews on yesterday was our rookie, Cedric Coward, who finished his rookie season averaging 13.5 points, 6 rebounds, appears likely to make one of the NBA all-rookie teams. Coward did all of that basically despite having all of last season off recovering from a shoulder injury. So to have the weight of the team possibly placed on him, looks like he may be ready. I mean, if you can average 13, I think with a lot more confidence being poured into you and a lot of importance to the team, I think that he is able to step his game up. Probably take it to a 20-point per night guy. Definitely not looking. We hope that he could jump to a 23, 24-point guy, speaking of Cedric Coward. But, you know, second year, we'll take a 5-6-point increase to kind of show growth from his first to his second year. But Coward is tremendous on and off of the court. He even had interviews, I guess, with NBC's on Today Show, and his grandfather was basically spotlighted as the light toward why Coward loves the NBA, loves the game of basketball. And from that standpoint, you saw where his maturity came from. You saw where his love of the game came from off of the court. So if you were ever worried about Cedric Coward, which I don't think many of us were, I think he loves basketball. You know, we asked that question of one like a Darren Peterson. does he love basketball? We know for a fact in this city we have a player on the team that could lead us that loves basketball. And I think we all can be proud of that and get behind Cedric Howard and in hopes of a huge jump next year, which will definitely be needed. But like I said, until Ja is gone, a lot of this stuff is not moot, but it's not finite. It's not a final, fait accompli kind of a deal because we don't know what we'll have. We don't know what we'll get back in return. I've heard that, you know, if Ja leaves, we won't get any players. What kind of conversation is that? We won't get any players. I think Ja Morant, even the Ja Morant that is definitely sullied and his reputation is kind of smeared, I think you get something for him. Like, this is ridiculous, man.
That's a tough conversation to have.
Man, this is ridiculous.
Because
man,
it's like what we know in terms of the player, the skill. Now, we know what's what, but the narrative that has been taken on that people are buying into, it's
And these are from smart people. Like, I'm not coming from a fan standpoint. No. I've heard smart people that are in the know, in the NBA loop say, D, we're not getting a player for him. Right. We're only going to get picks. If not, we have to attach something with him.
Right.
If you've once been that star, I mean, signature shoe, all of that good jazz.
It makes no sense to me.
It makes no sense to me.
I think it's going to come back and bite a whole lot of people in the butt later on.
Yeah, because I definitely think I'm in the minority, but I definitely think if you get rid of Ja Morant, if you move on, if you're the Memphis Grizzlies.
And you do have a special caller that called in. We have one. The great Brian Dacus wanted to chime in on some of this stuff.
Hey, we always love, can I call him B. Diddy?
Why not?
Yeah, I don't know if you like B. Diddy.
He might not.
Brian Dacus, welcome to Happy Hour, good sir. Thanks for calling in and joining me, dog. What's up?
Please never refer to me as B. Diddy ever again. That's not a nickname I want to stick around the building. First time, long time, whatever it is. I had a question. I put the phone down, right? I stopped listening. You are doing a great job. I stopped listening after I heard you, Darian, say that you like Ty Jerome as a sixth man.
Yes.
That's great. If Ty Jerome is back next year and Ja Morant isn't, who's the starting point guard if it's not Ty Jerome?
Very fair question.
I also prefaced it, sir, with
that you're gonna
it's
go
not
to
finite because we don't know if Ja is back. But if Ja is gone, who is? I have no idea.
Let's just say Ja's gone.
Ja's gone.
Is Ty Jerome and Ty Jerome is back next year? Is Ty Jerome your starting point guard opening night?
Are we drafting Darius Acuff?
You tell me. You're the GM.
If you drafting Darius Acuff or you drafting Kingston Flemings, that's my starting point guard coming opening night. That's just me. But
here's the second question: is Ty Jerome in the starting lineup? Do you put a veteran Ty Jerome out there at the two and kind of let the rookie kind of learn the reins of the starting point guard while having a veteran ball handler beside him?
I like that because Ty is doing – yeah, neither one of us are against that. I'm glad you said that, J.M. I would definitely buy into that because Ty can play off the ball. Mm-hmm. Ty can play on the ball. If he's not going to be my sixth man and we do draft a dynamic young point guard, I'm with it, Mr. Day, because I'm definitely with it.
Now, my worry with that, if this is – hypothetical case where it is a Darius Acuff that you got, and you got him on the floor with Ty Jerome next to him, they don't guard nobody. Neither one of them really does. But you can get that from Jerome. We just know that we didn't see that from freshman Darius Acuff in Fayetteville.
Let me ask Mr. Dacus, with or without an excellent point guard at, from the NBA draft, whether it's a Peterson, a Fleming, an Acuff, even if we have one of those guys, is Ty Jerome your starting point guard?
Probably. Like, if he's back, obviously if you draft one of those point guards, I think you throw them out there and put Ty at the two. But, here's the thing. Hope the Grizzlies are better next year. I think they will be better next year. Obviously, you won't have the end of the season tanking that you had at the end of this season. Let's not act like the Grizzlies are going to go from the sixth best odds right now to the sixth seed in the NBA playoffs next year in the West. There's going to be growing pains. So, if you've got I personally think they should probably trade Ty Drum, get some value out of him. He's played extremely well down the stretch.
I agree.
But if Ty Jerome's back, like I think he's got to be out there as a starter. I don't think you limit him to a bench role when you've got all these young guys around him. I think you put him out there and let him be the veteran on the court with a lot. I mean, because no matter what you do, you're going to have a bunch of young guards out there.
No matter what you do.
I would personally put him out there in the starting lineup.
Nope, totally get it. And while we got you, let me put you in the quote-unquote hot seat. Yesterday, there was a glaring omission at the Grizzlies exit interviews, one Ja Morant. The GM, Zach Kleiman, basically said the team – and Ja are on the same page. Ja has been a professional behind the scenes, but he thinks everyone is on the same page. So, first question, what does Ja omission say to you? And two, do you have an idea what this page is? Has this page been told to America, the city of Memphis, of what page are we on as far as the page being turned already, or are we still on a particular page?
Yes, good question. I think... we had DeMichael Cole on yesterday afternoon. If anybody missed that, he was phenomenal with us. He was at those exit interviews yesterday. He joined us at 5 o'clock, so you can go to the third hour of the podcast and check out everything he said. Because I asked him the exact same question about was he surprised that Ja Morant wasn't there, and he said no. He said he kind of expected it. That when you look at the situation that they have right now, where you've got a player that you know hasn't played, whether it's we can argue whether he was actually hurt the entire time he was out or whether they were just sitting him. They were in a tanking situation. Ja Morant was never going to get back on the court. He hasn't played, and it's been very up and down over the last year about his future, and the unknown is certainly there. I personally don't think they are on the same page. Like, you can look at some of the reports that's out there, and obviously there are two sides to every story, but you know, the fact that he wasn't included in the jersey giveaway, the fact that he hasn't been included in some of these other things, it leads me to believe they're not probably on the same page, or maybe they are on the same page, but they're kind of handling it different ways. So I personally think, and this is what DeMichael told us yesterday, that it didn't feel like much good would have come in. I'm changing his words. This isn't exactly what DeMichael said, but it wouldn't be... a lot of bad could come, I guess you could say, from Ja Morant being out there because you just don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what kind of questions he's going to take. We know that even when Ja Morant isn't trying to say bad things, sometimes the way that he answers questions can be twisted into a story. You know, I mean, we've seen it time and time again where he doesn't want to answer a question. People run with it and say, well, that's the answer. He, you know, hates playing for the Grizzlies, or he hates this or whatever. He doesn't want to play. And so I think everyone just kind of got together and said, there's no reason for Ja Morant to be out there in the exit interviews. And I was a little surprised, I guess, but it didn't shock me that we didn't see Ja Morant yesterday.
Absolutely. We are breaking down the Grizzlies exit interviews with the one and only Brian Dacus, not B. Diddy. We are dealing with Brian Dacus, host of Sports Time with our great friend, Brett Norsworthy. So last question before we get you out of here. I think correct me if I'm wrong, you and or Mr. J. Ham, I think the NBA draft still goes on in Hackensack, New Jersey, correct? Or New Jersey, I'm just going to say New Jersey. Maybe it's not Hackensack.
You mean the lottery?
The lottery, yes, the lottery.
Secaucus.
Okay, yeah. There it is. That's why I said not Hackensack.
Yeah.
Secaucus. So here at Sports 56 on Happy Hour last week, it was brought up, should we send the man with the most beautiful hair in the city of Memphis for good luck up to New Jersey, one Dustin Starr? Are you with that, dog? Are you down with sending Dustin Starr in hopes of getting us a very high draft pick, in which Elliot Perry has done a great job? What was it? Elliot Perry, we've had Brevin before. So everybody we've said, let me PSA this right now. We're not saying that anyone that has previously done or gone or is planning on going is the wrong, you know, choice or whatnot. But our friend of the show, Dustin Starr, who also is Mr. Everything, he hosts halftime performances, all that good stuff. The Memphis Redbirds.
He'll need three seats.
Yeah.
Okay. He'll need a seat for him. He'll need a seat for Grizz. He'll need a seat for Maine.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Brian Dacus, you with that? Let's send Dustin Starr in hopes of getting that number one, two, or three pick?
Yeah, I mean, whoever can bring us some luck, I am all for them being there. And look, it's not a bad idea. I think if you know, random person that's just driving down the road here is Dustin Starr, they might go, why in the world would you want Dustin Starr to be the guy representing? But you bring up a good point. this guy not only is at all the Grizzlies games, getting everybody hyped, getting everybody excited, and had to do it in a season where there was not much to get hyped and excited for, I might add, but he's also down at the Hustle game and doing stuff with them, doing work with them. So, yeah, he is Mr. Memphis. I would be all for that, but I don't care who they send up there. Hopefully the draft lottery falls in the Grizzlies' favor. And I'll say this before you let me go, because I know you got to go. You got to get to a break. You're late for a break, as usual, when me and you are hosting a show. But I would draft Kingston Fleming or Keaton Wagler over Darius Acuff.
Absolutely. Those are the words from Mr. Brian Dacus. Thank you, sir, for joining us, helping us out this morning.
Thanks, guys. Talk to y'all later.
In the absence of Mr. Johnny Radio, it takes a village, man, to fill the shoes of Johnny. And we're going to accept all the help that we can get, man. That was Brian Dacus, host of Sports Time. Check him out, 3 to 6 every day, Monday through Friday. Landon, Brett, Bryant. Sometimes I join them every now and again when I have the opportunity to grace those guys with my beauty and all that good jazz. But we're late for a break. We're going to get to a break. And on the other side, I think we have Mo Schefter. You think that's about right, J-Ham?
I think that's the plan.
Okay, a little cliffhanger for you. Hopefully, Mr. Mo Schefter get it in with us on the other side. I'm going to talk to him about the Masters, since I know he's Mr. Mo Golfman Schefter. Then we'll get into a little NFL draft and anything else he wants to talk about. Again, we are in the Family Leisure Studios each and every day. Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line, 901. Say it with me, people, while you're at work, in your job, in the grocery store, wherever you are. Say it with me, 901-360-8255. Text us right now. You know, agree or disagree with Brian Dacus. Agree or disagree with J-Ham. And only agree with me. How about that? How about you just don't disagree with me and say, D, you're right all the time, like we like. Yeah, that was a good John deal, right?
That wouldn't make good radio for you, though. You got to have something to argue.
Yeah, you got to have some pushback. But that's what John would say, love on me, hate on everybody else.
This was true. All right. It's very John Harden. All right, very on brand for John Harden.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to channel my inner John Harden. So we're going to get to a break right now. We're going to get to the other side. Catch us on the other side. You're listening to Happy Hour on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
They can't keep Johnny.
Welcome back, and again, good morning. We'll turn into good afternoon here on Happy Hour on Sports 56. I am Darian Newsom, sitting in for the one and the only Houston High and University of Memphis' own Jonathan Harden. No, you know him. That guy's a little bit under the weather, so send a wishful prayer. That's what John would say. Send out a prayer for my guy. Make sure he's all right. Him and Chaz. Chaz at the house wiping the drool from his mouth and the little snotty stuff from his nose and all that good jazz.
We should refer to him as Jonathan more often.
Yeah. I like calling him Jonathan. Yeah, that's my man, Jonathan Harden. And in the vein of Jonathan Harden, we got a little housekeeping to do. Want to thank all of our sponsors that sponsor these 2 hours that you guys are listening to us on. We thank you guys for listening to us. First of all, download the app, Sports 56 app. Put us in your pocket, people. Take us everywhere you go. We got listeners all the way up in Vancouver. No, what is it? Toronto. Canada. Well, no, that was Vancouver, right? Because our Grizzlies came there. He was from Vancouver. Yeah, our guy, he came from Vancouver, gave us a call last week. So we got listeners way up north, up yonder, all the way down south. So, you know, download the app. Take us with you. Listen to us anytime. And that's any of the shows from this Sports Time, Happy Hour, Wolo and Friends, all of us. Just listen to all of us, you know. Got to get that out of the way. But back to our sponsors. Bangers Pickleball. We thank them for sponsoring the show. High Low Commercial. You want to get your house all clean and all that good jazz. Get High Low Commercial on it. Memphis Mold Inspectors. I know. Thanks for John for the prayers for my son that was breathing all in that bad air, making bad decisions in life. And now we got the house all mold free. And now we're happy. We're about to graduate high school and all that good jazz.
And behavior has been corrected.
Yeah, behavior has been corrected, man. You got to get that mold out of your house. And after we got the mold out of the house, I took an opportunity to head down to Los Cabos and order some Tito's Vodka. How about them apples, man? Catch us at Los Cabos anytime after the show, drinking a little Tito's. And when I get home after all of that, I want to sit in the backyard on some beautifully coated, beautifully powdered coated furniture in the backyard from Rick's Powder Coating. So thank you to everybody that sponsors the show. Right now, we're going to bring in one of the best listeners all around. And I'm saying this before he gets on. He gives us our flowers all of the time. But one of the most insightful and truthful people you will hear, not only on air, but online, anywhere. We're going to bring in Mr. Mo Schefter on his Views from the 22 Tuesday. What up, Mo?
Hey, man, I appreciate that introduction. I got expectations now, but luckily for us, we are surrounded by people where the expectation is the standard.
Hey, man, the standard, and in the words of the former man in Pittsburgh, the standard is the standard. That's how we're going to roll, baby. All right, man, we're going to get into it. I heard you're a little golf enthusiast, man. I hadn't had it. First of all, me and Mo hadn't had an opportunity to rap on the show, just me and him in a while. We got this thing, you know what I'm saying? So I get comfortable. I lean my seat back because I know, you know, I don't know if you're going to hang with us past noon or what time we got, but I know for the next at least 21 minutes, we're about to get some knowledge dropped on us so people sit back and relax and enjoy the show. So, a little golf in your vein out here, right?
Yes.
What'd you think about the Masters, man? What'd you think about Masters Sunday, the entire weekend? I had my thoughts on it, but what do you got? What says you?
Yeah, so the Masters, you know, the Masters is what got me initially into golf, obviously with Tiger Woods. And then it just got into it. The first full Masters that I ever watched, like all 4 days, was I think it was 2013 when Spieth had that meltdown on the 12th hole. And I fell in love with it. And it really wasn't until about 2-3 years ago, actually last year, to be completely honest, where I started watching every tournament. And the way I would turn on Red Zone on Sundays in the off season,
yes,
I started turning on the PGA Tour.
Hey dog, we gotta get to Phoenix, man. Not only do I want to go to the Waste Management Open and act accordingly, I need some peeps with me. So hey, we gotta hit Phoenix Open, man. I mean, we gotta hit the Waste Management Open and do like the people do in Phoenix one of these days.
Yeah, you might find some of Tony Soprano's retired associates at the Waste Management Convention, you know. But as far as this tournament, look, I kind of talked to Landon a little bit about it yesterday. I thought experience showed, especially with Rory and the way he just sort of stayed the course, and Cam Young and Sam Burns and Shane Lowry, and even Justin Rose, who putted incredibly well, as always. It just shows the experience in Augusta truly, truly matters. And then I think we were reminded that Scheffler, when he's focused, is the very best in golf.
That's where I wanted to stop you. I want to talk with you before I forget some of these jewels you're dropping on us. I'm not going to say that Rory backed into a championship, but I'm going to tell you. But I'm going to tell you, on 18 up to, and you can afford to lose a stroke, I think that the pressure was totally off of him. If at 17, Schefter makes that Arnold Palmer-looking, you know, putt on 17, if that drops, and then I'll even give you another mulligan, not just necessarily that one, but on 18, that ball could have been in South Carolina. I mean, if that ball falls into Magnolias or closer to a tree, I'm knowing he's not only just going to drop a shot, but now it gets inside of his head. Don't you recall when he hit the house at one point in time in the Masters, you know, almost a decade ago, where it's like he just loses control at the Masters when the pressure is on. Do you think not having that pressure allowed him to say, I'm the champ, I have this? Or do you think, because Landon got me yesterday, D, you're playing what ifs. But Schefter,
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I hear what you're saying, and I hear what Landon is saying. And again, I do not think of myself as an expert the way I am on football or the way Mona Lisa Vito is when it comes to cars. Shout out to my cousin Vinny. But from my perspective, these are my views, right? I think the most important part of this Masters tournament is the way Scottie Scheffler performed on the par fives. And if you know the Masters, you don't got to know golf. If you know the Masters, the par five is where you're supposed to get points.
Yes.
And if you look at the difference between the way Rory performed in the par fives and the way Scotty performed in the par fives, like, I am pretty sure Scotty only had two birdies all weekend on the par five. That is unheard of for somebody of his caliber to have that many pars or even bogeys on a par five in Augusta.
Zero bogeys on the weekend, though.
Zero bogeys on the weekend, I hear you. But the par five is where you're supposed to score.
You're supposed to score. Correct.
You know what I mean? That's a scoring hole. And Scotty knows that. And everybody talks about 17. You're right. I go back to a couple of shots. I can't remember the first one. But the second one was on the ninth hole. He was like 146 yards out. And you would think, okay, he's going to get it pretty close. But then he ended up putting it at the top of the slope and then never went back. And that, he should have easily birdied that one because his playing partner landed 2 feet from the hole.
Correct. I think you're absolutely
right. And he was in
the
worst position.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about the biggest takeaway being Scotty and how he played, because he played even par Thursday and Friday. And for him to be, I think he was 11 or 12 strokes back when he woke 12 strokes back when he woke up Saturday. And to finish in second place, like you said, you brought up Cam, you brought up Jason Day. I mean, it was a litany of people who were not only in front of him, but had an opportunity to, like you said, get the ball and score. And it didn't just hunt Scotty. It hunted a lot of guys because, as you can see, that number stayed around. The lead stayed around 11, 12. No one really extended it to 13, 14, 15. And like I told Landon on yesterday, and I'm not a golf aficionado, and I hope I don't sound like it, I just love the game of golf. Like, I told Landon, had he played a little bit better on Thursday or Friday, he would have won at 12-13. Landon says he needed to play a lot better. I say, Landon, if he plays a lot better on Thursday and Friday, he pulls a Tiger Woods. He's winning 17-18 underdog. Like, I don't like, if he plays the way he normally does on a Thursday or Friday, this is not even a question. Rory is a distant second.
No, again, I don't want to get into hypotheticals because Rory made the shots.
He did.
Rory made some birdies.
Give him his kudos.
Rory had some great, you know, some of his drives, especially on those par fives, put him at an advantage. Like on the hole that Lee shot a 10, Rory shot average birdie because of where he was able to put the ball for that second shot, where he didn't have to lay up. He knew he could safely go over the creek and land on the green and with an opportunity for eagle, you two-putt for birdie, which is exactly what he did consistently on the par fives. And a lot of it was because of his ability to drive the ball further than the rest of the field. And Scheffler, with Landon, with all due respect to my brother,
he
just needed to play better on the par fives. Forget what happened
on Thursday and Friday.
If he would have just played one or two of those par fives better, Rory would have had a one-stroke deficit going into the 18th hole. That's it. Forget what happened on the days. All he had to do was play one or two par fives better, and it'd have been a whole different narrative as to this Masters.
Totally get you, and that's what we're here to do, man. We're here to give him his flowers. We're gonna give Rory his flowers, man. When you end up in the conversation with Jack, and all of them are first namers too, Jack, Sir Nick, and Tiger, and now you add your name Rory as being the only gentleman to win back-to-back green jackets. What a feat. So kudos to Rory. I'll stop being a Scheffler homer. I just love Scotty Scheffler, man, and I saw the eye of a tiger every time he plays.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's all it is. I mean, I'm just fascinated.
Pun intended.
Yeah, pun intended. I'm just fascinated that you can, and because someone shot an 80 on Sunday. Like, I forget his name, the player. He shot an 80 on Sunday. It's like the mental fortitude that you have to come back from 11 and you guys stay pat. Like, I mean, it's just amazing. Golf is amazing, man. So, all right, we're going to flip the page a little bit. We're going to get into a little NFL draft, if you will.
Yeah.
But
if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, last thing. I just got to say this just for the people who don't watch golf as much.
People in the back.
I'm going to use a 94 feet of life quote. It's a make or miss league.
Easily. And as well said, when you're speaking about the game of golf. All right, well, hold tight. We're going to get into a little NFL on the other side. I got my man Jay Ham looking at me the same way that I look at John Harden when it's time to go to a break. And that feels awkward. So right about now, we're going to get to a break. We'll catch you in about 2.5 minutes on the other side. You're listening to Happy Hour on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Hi, this is Greg Gaston from Sports 56.
This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
And welcome back to Happy Hour on Sports 56. We would like to say good morning is about to turn into good afternoon right here on Happy Hour. We're joined by the one and only, it's a Views from the 22 Tuesday, Mo Schefter. And we're getting back into our wheelhouse. If you guys listened to us just a minute ago, we were bashing Rory for winning the Masters. No, no, we weren't. Actually giving him his kudos, man, and just giving a little bit of love to the game of golf, which we don't hear enough of here on this station. But as far as turning the page, we're going to turn the page to the NFL draft. Mo, do you have a mock draft, a big board? What do you got in the world of football right now?
Yeah, so Jerm actually put up the big board, and I haven't. One sec, I am so sorry.
Oh yeah, do you?
So yeah, I was trying to pull it up. So he sent me over the big board. He's got a top 50 together, and we're trying to release it. But as you know, I've been in the process of moving. I'm finally settled in, so I'm still trying to catch up on some things, but. We are definitely going to be releasing it. If not today, it's going to be released tomorrow morning. And if you can get Jerm on here, I'm going to let him talk about his 50. But one thing that I noticed from his big board is he was higher on Ty Simpson than I initially thought he would be.
Does he have a first-round grade on
him? I don't think he's got a first-round grade on him. But he does have him. That's exactly what I'm trying to pull up. Was just taking me.
Go for it. I'll wrap with you. What I'm hearing a lot of people, especially in the world of the, can we call it Steeler Nation? They are right now waiting on Aaron Rodgers to make a decision. It's like, come on, dude, you're 41 years old. Stop holding them hostage. Let them know what they're going to do. I hope they know. They just hadn't released it. But I would really hate for a 41-year-old that's not named Tom Brady to hold a team hostage. But needless to say, I'm hearing a lot of chatter about one Ty Simpson going to Pittsburgh, whether or not A-Rod is there, and whether or not A-Rod wants to be a bridge quarterback. I'm hearing
right.
that, you just want Ty Simpson to watch Aaron Rodgers, to listen to Aaron Rodgers, to see Aaron Rodgers in that quarterback room, regardless if Aaron, agrees to bring him along or not, because that will obviously benefit them once he does move on. What are your thoughts about that? Pittsburgh drafting Ty Simpson, in spite of any negativity that may need to be said or has been said, but the goal is to get Ty Simpson around a Hall of Fame quarterback before he exits.
Sure. So it's funny because I wrote down some names or some teams rather where I would not object to them picking Ty Simpson in the first round, and I wrote down some teams that I would highly object if they drafted Ty Simpson in the first round. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, Darian, are on the list of I would highly object against drafting Ty Simpson in the first round. Now, I need to be very specific and transparent in what I'm saying. So Jerm has him ranked number 33. And Jerm knows this. If you rank any quarterback within the top 50, to me, you're saying somebody's going to pick him in the first round. That's just my opinion. That's not from fact or historical data or any of that. That's just simply me understanding how these NFL executives measure the weight of having a franchise quarterback, So the threshold for what warrants to be a first round pick is actually the lowest when it comes to quarterbacks, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Jerm has him at 33 tells me that Jerm believes there's going to be enough teams out there that could potentially see him as a first-round pick. Now, there are a lot of things to like about the kid. And I, again, I have not studied him for hours, but I've studied a little bit. And I can tell you that I see anticipation. I see accuracy. I see a kid that knows how to utilize his eyes. I see a kid that understands anticipation. And when it seems like your arm is not quite NFL ready as of yet, anticipation becomes a critical factor. So he checks off a lot of those boxes, but there's some things you can't change. There is some things that you just cannot change in this world, no matter what. I don't care.
The physical part, right?
and so to me, because of his stature, mm-hmm. I actually think going to somebody like Mike McCarthy would be one of the worst things that could happen to his career.
Okay. All right, good deal.
Because he's got to be somewhere modern that gets him out of the pocket, that gets him to see the field better, that gets him some easy completion. You know what I mean? If he goes somebody like McCarthy, I don't think you're going to have a positive result.
All right, last one. Kansas City Chiefs are unique to me. Andy Reid does not normally draft this high. Actually, the highest draft pick he's had in the first round on the offensive side of the ball was 19. And that was, oh, he's escaping me right now, but he was a wide receiver. Jeremy Maclin. He was a 19th overall pick. Does Kansas City go with an offensive player even though they need defense right now? You're Andy Reid. What are you doing?
They're going defense. I wholeheartedly believe they're going defense. There's too many good players that are going to be available at 9. And worst case scenario, they can trade down. But I think if they stay there, they go defense. I think if they trade down, then potentially you're going to look at them going offense or even offensive line.
Ah, see, I kind of wish he'd get one of those weapons. You know, that's all I'm wishing and hoping for old Big Red is that he finally gets a weapon. All right, Mo, tell the peeps where they can find you and what you got going on.
Mo_views22, Instagram and TikTok. The content will be coming soon. We will be having draft content coming out, I promise you. It's just been a crazy offseason, going fast. But just stay tuned in, stay locked in. We got some things coming down the pipeline.
Mo, you are welcome here anytime, brother. You know it. Thank you for hitting us up and call back. Come on anytime.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. All right, man. It's time to get you to the other side of noon. Again, this is happy hour. We're about to come back. It'll be afternoon time when we get back, peeps. Stay tuned to us. You're listening to J-Ham, Darian Newsome on happy hour. We're sitting in for Johnny Radio. We'll see you.